You know, 1 John, as we've been talking about, is about fellowship. It's about loving one another. It's about being a community of faith. And I recently found out that Pastor Keith has been listening to my sermons two or three times a day. He's trying to glean. Thank you. And I, come here. I had a note in my box from Pastor Keith. So, because we've been talking about fellowship and loving one another, and Pastor Keith put a note in my box here at church and just opened it up and said, "Pastor Jamie, love is many things. Love is two vowels, O and E." And then he wrote, "Love is two consonants, L and V." And then he wrote, "And love is two fools, you and me." I was thinking he was just one fool, but just kidding. I want to apologize publicly to Miss Helen for yelling at her and telling her to hurry up. You're doing a great job. Brenda, never mind. I told Brenda to remind me to fire Helen tomorrow, but we're not going to do that. She's doing great. I appreciate you. And that's what community is. It's gathering together. It's loving one another. It's carrying each other's burdens. And tonight is probably, I think, one of the more difficult passages in 1 John to deal with. So I just kind of want to jump into this and want you to hear this because, you know, today truth is such a relative term and people feel like, well, there's no absolute truth. And people would say, well, whatever truth you have, well, that's good for you, but it may not be good for everybody. But there are some things that God has said that really, they're non-negotiables. And John is going to begin to highlight some of these things right here. So in 1 John chapter 2, we're just going to jump into verse 18. "Dear children," notice John uses this endearing term, children. You know, obviously he wasn't all of their father, you know. But he writes, "Dear children," and when he says that, it's kind of like, hey, listen up. And he's about to share a loving word, a word that's going to help you. You know, like sometimes at my house, I'll say, "Now, dear children, I'm going to beat you," you know, and that gets their attention. They understand that I love them. John says, "Dear children, this is the last hour." Now, I don't know how many people you met in your life, but I meet a lot of people and they'll say, "Man, I believe Jesus is coming back before I die." And as a pastor, people ask me a lot, "When do you think Jesus is coming back?" And I've got a great answer. The Bible says nobody knows. If I speculate to know, then I'm overgoing scripture. Because the Bible says nobody knows. The Bible says Jesus doesn't even know when he's coming back. He'll come when the Father tells him to come. And so thumbs up. All right. And he says this is the last hour. Now he's not necessarily referring to what we would call parousia. Everybody say parousia. Which is basically the second coming of Jesus. He's not necessarily trying to forecast or say Jesus is getting ready to come back. But he's saying this is the last hour. And it's an hour of crisis for the church. He says, "And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us." Now, remember, maybe if you're here for the first time, I just want to remind you that what's happening in the church is some of them have caught on to a new teaching, a new doctrine. How many just like new stuff? All right, well, I'll preach to this side then. we like new stuff, especially new teachings. I get this magazine called Mental Floss. If you're kind of a reading junkie, it's a great magazine. It's just full of just random stuff. Remember the story I told about the little thingy that was on the fish tongue? Or that came out of Mental Floss. I mean, you know, everybody should know about that thing. And so Mental Floss is a great magazine, you know, just junky, because I like new stuff. I like new things. I like new teachings. But we have to be careful because in Christianity, this is not new. This is not a new thing. If you're a new believer, then it's new for you. But it never changes. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. He never changes. How many of you are married? I think in marriage you can really appreciate that a lot more. That he never changes. Because I don't know about you, but I change. And my wife changes, you know, and it's always weird, you know, in marriage when something's just not like it always was. But for doctrine and for what we believe about the faith, those things never change. Now, why I think this is so crucial, what John is writing, is because I think the church is full of wimps. We're afraid to talk about what we believe because you already know that what we believe is offensive to a lot of people. Even people who aren't necessarily atheists, people who believe in God and love God or whatever, it's offensive. I mean, because, you know, some of the things I'm going to share with you tonight that never changes. There is only one hope for salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. That never changes. God will never go back on that. He's already said in His Word that this is it. And so there's no new thing, no new teaching. There's an author out right now, his name's Sam Harris. And most of the books that he's written have made the New York Times bestseller list. I was trying to remember two of his latest books. One is called The End of Faith. And I think his most current book is A Letter to a Christian Nation. And basically, Harris just says that, you know, people that believe in God and believe in Jesus are ignorant. And he says, you know, how can you believe that? He says religion is going to lead to the end of the world. One of the things he says is that because Christians believe that it's going to get really bad before Jesus comes back, that we have no motivation, you know, to conserve the earth or for good things, that we want it to get bad just so that Jesus will come back. Well, what Harris misses is the fundamental teaching of the responsibility that God has given us to the earth. Now, I'm not like eco-crazy, and I probably need to be more eco-responsible. And my wife, I came in the other day, and there's this big red bin in the carport. And I'm like, you know, what's that? And it had these arrow things on it. And apparently, it's a recycling thing. And she says all of our plastic has to go in there. So for like 3 days, everything we have that's plastic is on the kitchen counter. I said, no, if we're going to recycle it, let's recycle a bit, but it's right there. God has given us as Christians a responsibility to the earth. I mean, in essence, what's happened in Genesis is the earth has become our responsibility. And so we do have a responsibility to it. So if Harris, he misunderstands, he probably hasn't read the scripture, but he's misunderstanding, you know, what it is as Christians that God has given us charge over. He says, you know, that makes us think that we can go wipe out people that aren't Christians so that Christians will rule the earth. Well, if you've read the Bible, you can't find that anywhere. Matter of fact, the Bible says we're going to be oppressed on every side. It's constantly going to be coming against us. That if you get smacked in the cheek, what's the Bible say to do? Turn the other cheek. Well, that doesn't sound like any kind of annihilationism. I mean, it sounds like that there is a Christian ethic and a Christian moral. Well, what's happened in the church that John is writing to is that there's this new teaching, this new doctrine. I told you a little bit about a few weeks ago, docetism, which basically is the belief that all flesh is evil. Well, to be a docetist, you can't believe that God came in the form of a man who we agree together, probably most of us tonight, that man was Jesus Christ, and he took on flesh. He became just like us. The Bible says he was tempted in every way that we have been, except he was without sin. And the Docetists couldn't believe that. Well, so what's happened? These people have gone out. And that's what John's talking about. They've gone out and they've got this new teaching. And so they want to come back now and teach the church these new things. And I'm amazed, you know, I mean, there's so many things going on in our society, like tolerance is such a catchword in our society. We have to be tolerant. You know, and I've told you before, there's a book called Be Intolerant because some things are just stupid. And it really is true. And so in our society, they want to say we need to be tolerant and just respect what everybody believes. Now, I'll tell you, I'll be the first one to tell you, I think we ought to respect what everybody believes. But because I respect it, doesn't make it truth. Are y'all with me? So I can respect what somebody else believes, but that doesn't make it truth. I remember I was like a senior in high school. I was in French class and somebody was just talking and I can't remember what led into it, but somebody just said, I just think it's amazing when you look at the trees and you see the earth and God's handiwork, just how awesome it all is. And this girl in the front of the class turns around and says, if you believe that God did all that. Well, I was leading this Bible study my senior in high school, so everybody turned to look at me.
And I had nothing to say. You know, nothing came to my mind. And this guy who really never, I never heard him speak before, he just said, you know what? It doesn't matter if that's what you believe. It doesn't change the fact that God did create. Now, I think we have to get a boldness about us. Now, I think we have to be respectful. But I think we have to have a boldness about what we believe. And I think tonight, I just want to challenge us on what we really believe. Because one thing that blows me away is that I believe that the only way to heaven is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible clearly teaches that. Jesus said that himself. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me, but through me. And so Jesus made it clear that the only hope we have for salvation is through him. Well, I really believe that. If you really believe that, do you know what that leads you to do if you really believe that? It leads you to share that with other people, especially people that you love, people that you have a relationship with, because you want to see them go to heaven. I'll never forget being in college and had a really good friend. And one night, man, we were in revival and he just got so convicted. And later that night, he just came and he talked. He said, I know that God wants to save me. He said, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross and he rose again, but I can't accept him. And I asked him, I said, how come? He said, because my dad's going to die and go to hell, and I don't want him to go alone. Because it's a sobering fact that the only hope we have is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. John goes on to say, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. And he says, who is a liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And so it's this thing, this very basic doctrine in our faith, but it is so important. Because I meet a lot of people and they say, well, you know, I just think, you know, that if you're just a good person, I think you're going to make it to heaven. And that goes so against what Jesus taught. Now, and I want you to listen to me, because I'm not calling for arrogance from us. All right. I don't believe I know the truth because I was smarter than everybody else. Man, it was the Spirit of God that convicted me of my need for a Savior, of my need to have my sin forgiven. I can't take any credit for that. But what I also believe is the Bible says, and Jesus died not just for our sins, but for the sins of the world. And there's this call from Genesis to Revelation to share this with other people. All the things we do in a church, you know, there's one of the things we do as a church that we cannot do when we get to heaven. You know what that is? To share the gospel with lost people. And so it's this burning passion. I want to encourage you, because this is something that we must believe. We must grasp. If you don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven, then you don't believe the Bible, and you don't believe the very words of Jesus. And it matters. It is important. I remember I was doing a revival and the pastor, you know, after I preached, we were back in the back. And I've told you before why preachers go to the back, so that you can tell them great sermon, right? And that's why I don't go to the back on Wednesdays, because I know I want to force you. And as we were back there, this gentleman was approaching us. He was in his 60s. And the pastor whispers to me, he says, this guy's not a Christian. We need to pray for him. So when that guy walked up to shake my hand, I said, sir, can I ask you something? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? And he just looked down and he said, no, sir, I don't. I said, can I talk to you about that? And of course, there were, you know, thousands of people waiting to tell me great sermon. And so I just took him into the room and I said, sir, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He said, yes. I said, do you believe he died on the cross and he rose again 3 days later? He said, yes. I said, do you believe it's the only way you could be saved is for him to forgive you of your sin and to come into your life? He said, yes. I said, sir, so what's stopping you from inviting him to come into your life? And man, this guy is crying. And he said, when I was a boy, I knew that I needed to be saved. And he said, and I came down the aisle at the end of church, and the preacher pointed to him and he says, you're too young to know what's going on. Have a seat. And he said, so I've been afraid all this time that Jesus wouldn't save me. And man, that guy right there in that room, because we get to talk, and he invites Jesus Christ to come into his life. Well, you know what I believe? I believe that was the most significant thing that ever happened in that man's life, was in that moment. It was the most important decision that would ever be made. And we rejoiced that night that God saved him. Now, if that guy would have said, well, I think there are other ways to heaven. I don't think Jesus is the only way. And I want you to know that's up for debate in a lot of churches. You know, a lot of people would say Jesus is a good way. He's a nice way to go, but there are other ways. And I love to ask people, what are some of the other ways? And of course, a lot of people, probably some of you here tonight, would say, man, I just think if you're good, you know, if you try to live a good life, I think you're going to be okay. And anytime I have an opportunity like that, I said, well, let's see how good you are. Have you ever stolen anything? And you know, anybody that's honest is going to tell you, well, yeah, I mean, nothing big, but okay, yeah. I said, so you're a thief. No, I'm not a thief. I mean, I've stolen some things. I'm like, that makes you a thief in my book. Have you ever had a bad thought, you know, a lustful thought towards a woman? And you know, nobody's going to sit there and try to tell you no to that one. I said, so you're an adulterer. No. Well, the Bible says you have lust in your heart and you're an adulterer. Have you ever really disliked somebody, hated somebody even? You know, and almost every person who's honest will tell you, yes. I said, so you're a murderer? So let me get this straight. You're a thief, an adulterer, and a murderer, but you think you're good enough to get to heaven? And of course, in the really fun conversations, they'll say, well, so are you. And I said, yes, that's my point. And so my best is not good enough. It's not going to make it. That's why Jesus came and he died on the cross and he rose again and his blood was shed so that I could be forgiven. And there is no other way. Nobody else went to the cross. And every other world religion says you can make it on your own. But I promise you, on my best day, I haven't looked in the mirror and thought, I think I'd make it today. Not on my best day. And so Jesus has come, and John's reminding the church, listen, you hold fast to this truth. There are some things that you've got to believe. Don't buy into all the new stuff, because I know it sounds good. So Sam Harris has given us all these reasons why we shouldn't believe in God. Or if you've been watching the news, they have supposedly found the bones of Jesus, his wife, well, that was news to me, his son. They found him and they've used all this carbon-14 dating to prove that it's all actual and it's all over the news. They found the bones of Jesus. I want you to know, as a Christian, that is problematic for me. Because if those are his bones, then he didn't raise from the dead. And I'm not saved, I'm just a fool. But the Bible says that he died and he rose again. And the Bible's very specific about that. So you know what, I'm not going to punch anybody who says they believe that, but I've got to hold fast to the truth no matter what they find. And listen, in this day and age, get ready, because they're going to start finding things all over the world to disprove what you and I say we believe. But I'm going to hold fast to this, to the teaching. And John's reminding the church, hold on to this. He said, no one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Now listen, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. Don't worry about what everybody else is saying. And listen, if you're around the right people, they'll make you feel really stupid for what you believe. Sam Harris is just a smart aleck, and all through his book, he's just totally denigrating Christians who believe that this guy died and he rose again. And he's like, you know, how foolish is that? We know that dead people don't rise. But I know different. Because I read the words of Jesus when he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he rose. And you know why he was specific? You know why he said Lazarus? Because if Jesus said, come forth, there'd been dead people walking everywhere. But Jesus was specific. He said, Lazarus, but guess what else I know? That the tomb couldn't hold Jesus. And that 3 days later, he arose.
And I'm holding to that because it's the only hope that I have. And if it's not true, then there is no hope for me. And nothing they find will convince me otherwise. And I'll tell you why. Because you can debate a lot of things with me. And you can, and I'm not smart. So it's easy to confuse me. Okay? And the one thing though that you can't debate with me is what I heard in the beginning. I'll never forget when I was saved. Because you can say whatever you want, but something happened. Because things were different. And he's reminding them, you remember the beginning. He's not talking about the beginning of time, the beginning of your faith. Remember when it was new? Remember when Jesus saved you? How incredible that was, because you didn't think there was any hope for you? You may remember that. I mean, I remember that. I knew what I had done. Mom said, "You are saved." And I was thinking, she doesn't know everything I've done. And who could tell me that I'm saved? Because nobody knew all the deep, dark places of my life except Jesus. He knew, and he saved me in spite of that. Or I might say he saved me because of that. Because the truth is, I was just a sinner. And that's all I could be on my own. But Jesus saved me. And that's why we need a Savior. And that's why every person I meet, you know what I know is true of them? That they need a Savior. And it's real fun when you come by somebody who knows that they need a Savior. I mean, I love being here at the altar at Hillview and somebody come and say, "Man, there's no hope for me." And I'm saying, in and of yourself, you're right. But there is a hope for you in Jesus. And it makes so much sense to me what we believe about the faith. You know, I mean, few things are harder in this life than marriage. And I've said before that nobody can make me be unfaithful. Nobody except me. And so God's called me to be a certain type of husband. And I'd love to tell you all that I'm writing a book on how to be a godly husband. You can purchase it, but you know, I can't write that book right now. Because I'm still in journey and I'm still hearing from God. But you know what? If my wife was here, she would tell you the only reason we're together is because of Jesus. Because there's a whole lot she doesn't like about me that I kept hid from her, you know, till after we got married. And then she sees the real me. That ever happened to you? It's okay. Jesus is bigger than that. And it's the evidence that's in my life that cannot be refuted. That I am not who I used to be. That I'm changed and I'm different. And there's like stuff that happens in my life that, man, there's no way that's of me. It's got to be God. And this is an encouragement that he's writing. "See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life." You know, I think if we were honest, we might agree that sometimes this life's pretty good. Anybody agree with me? Or am I the only pagan? Oh, there's a lot of pagans. Good. Sometimes this life is pretty good. And one of the reasons I struggle to preach about heaven is because I know it goes so beyond what I can even imagine. And sometimes the only thing I can compare it to is like a really great day on earth. You ever have that day where you get up and the birds are singing? And they're saying your name? You ever have one of those days? And your wife is just like, "Well, good morning, husband. Here's breakfast. Don't get up." You may ever have one of those days? I've heard about them. But you know, just one, and like sometimes that's the only thing I compare it to. And you know what? That's a horrible comparison because we have no idea what it means to be in the presence of God. And so all I can do is look forward to it. My kids will say, "Daddy, what's heaven going to be like?" You know? And I hate to even answer the question. Because I want them to have this unbelievable expectation of what it's going to be like. Because he's promised us even eternal life. And so I believe that this life here is just a short journey. And I believe in this journey as we come to know Jesus, that immediately I want everybody else to know Jesus. Man, I want my grandparents to know Jesus. I want my kids to know Jesus. Man, I was in the baptistry on Christmas Sunday with my boys, I don't know if it gets any better than that. I mean, what a phenomenal thing. And they understand. You know, they don't understand everything, but they understand that, like, when this life is over, they're going to be in heaven. I remember one time I was asking my six-year-old, said, "Will, do you know what it takes to get to heaven?" He goes, "You got to die."
Oh, there we go. I want to encourage you all that there are some things that we've got to cling to, that we have to grasp, that being a part of this community means that there are some things that we share in common. He said, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. Now, everybody look up here. He does not mean that there's no need for teachers. He's very specifically addressing that there are these false teachers and you don't need what they have. You don't need them to teach you. Matter of fact, he goes on to say, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. He's saying, I've given you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. And one of the ways the Holy Spirit will teach you is through men and women who teach. And so every one of you ought to be a part of Bible study. And there's Bible studies that go on here almost every day of the week. You ought to be involved in Bible study. You ought to know more about the Bible than you know right now. I should know more about the Bible than I know right now. Every one of us. None of us are beyond this. So all of us to be taught these things by the Holy Spirit. And you know what it is when you're in a conversation and somebody says something? It's the Holy Spirit confirming in me what's truth and what's not. And so I know what to believe and I know what I need to reject. And I want to encourage us as a church to become passionate about what we believe. Because there's some very basic things that God created the world. I don't even think it's worth debating how he did it. Because I wasn't there. I know what he says in his word, and I'm going to go with that. He spoke it into existence. He said, let there be light, and bam, there was light. And he creates the earth, and he is the creator God. I believe he created every one of us. I don't think anybody got by some mistake or some accident. And the truth is, some of you here tonight, and you feel like a mistake or an accident, that your life has gone in such a crazy way that you wonder if you were even supposed to be here. But I want you to know you were, because nothing got by God. And he created you with a purpose for a reason. And I want you to cling to that. Because I believe for most of us, that purpose and that reason is so that we can live the life God is calling us to live. So other people can experience Jesus through us. So you know what the Holy Spirit does with that? The Holy Spirit creates a hunger for people for Jesus. I heard a preacher say one time, it's easy to get saved. It's easy to get saved. But you know, the Bible says it's impossible to get saved. The Bible says it's impossible. It's not easy. Because if God won't save you, you're not getting saved. So it's not easy. It's impossible for us to get saved. When I want groceries, when I go to the grocery store, I get groceries. You know, if I go to the bank, I get money. But I don't go somewhere to get saved. God has to do that to me. I want to encourage you. We've got to believe that there's a God. And based on his word, we've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came to earth and died on the cross and rose again 3 days later. Jesus even said in the synagogue, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so Jesus acknowledges himself, that there's an anointing that God has put on him. He's indeed the Son of God. We have to believe that there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ, because we can't deny the Son and say that we know the Father, because the Father has sent the Son. And so it's important. I really want you to hear this. And it's okay if you're wrestling with some of these things. It's okay. All right. I think that's natural and part of our journey. But at some point, we have to begin to make an effort in our lives to know these things, because you know what? He's come so that you and I can be free, so that you and I can have life. And he says, and I want you not just to have life, but I want you to have life abundantly. That's the kind of life that he desires for you and for me. And so we've got to know these. John said, listen, there's a lot of people and they're saying a lot of things. And how apropos for today in 2007, because they're saying a lot of things. Somebody thinks they've got the bones of Jesus. Somebody thinks they've got the bones of Jesus' wife. And somebody thinks they've got the bones of Jesus' son. But I want you to rest assured, do not let that shake your faith. Because we're going to hold true to what Jesus has told us himself. And church, listen, everybody look up here. It's important that we believe these things. And it's important that we hold on to these things. It's important that we understand what the truth is. And so my life, it's just a daily pursuit of more and more truth. Because there's no other hope for me. There's no other hope for you except that we would trust Him. If you're here tonight, listen, some of you are here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And some of these things I've talked about, maybe you kind of struggle with some things. Maybe you feel like you've got some great answers for the things that I've said. But I want you to know, just because you have answers, it doesn't change what the truth is. I remember I was praying with a guy. And I was asking if he had a relationship with Jesus. And he said that he didn't. And he said he believed all those things, but he was just struggling. He said, you know, I want to wait because I just want to be sure about all this. And I asked him, I said, you know, I understand that. I understand just wanting to understand it all. But I've got to warn you, I became a Christian when I was 16 years old, and I don't understand it all. I'm still in journey. And if I had waited, I wouldn't be a Christian today because I'd still be trying to figure it all out. But the undeniable thing is what Jesus has done in my life. Folks, it's real. It's real. I can't deny what Jesus has done in my life. And I share that with you tonight because I want you to know that's what He wants to do in your life. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you. You know, chances are we'll all be alive tomorrow. Okay? Everybody got me? I'm not trying to scare anybody. We'll probably all be alive tomorrow. Okay? But we don't know that. And if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, and you believe He died on the cross, and you believe He rose again 3 days later, and you believe that He can forgive your sin, then tonight I would invite Him into my life. Remember, it's not easy to get saved. It's impossible, except that God will do it. And in His Word, it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So we're going to have a time of altar. And you know what I want to do? I just want us to affirm these things in our lives and these truths. So maybe some of you just need to come to the altar tonight and say, you know, Lord, thank you for reminding me of these things. And help me to become bold in my faith. That I can have a discussion. You don't have to have all the answers. Some of you need to come to the altar tonight because somebody you love is not saved yet. And I would invite you to come to the altar and just lift up their name and say, Jesus, save them. Save them. It doesn't matter how receptive they are. Everybody got me? It doesn't matter how receptive they are because they can't get saved by themselves. They can't do that. Only God can. So you know what I'd do? If there was somebody I loved and they weren't saved, I'd come to this altar tonight and I'd say, Jesus, save them. Save them. And if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, man, I wish I could take you back when I was 16 and just how unbelievable it was what God did in my life. How real that it was what God did in my life. Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, even right now, our hearts cry out the names of those that we love who don't know you. And we pray tonight, Jesus, that you would save them. Lord, we pray that you would touch them. Lord, we pray that you would do what only you can do. And God, can continue to do a work in our lives, that we understand these truths, that we grasp onto them, that we know you're the only hope we have. You're the only hope that anybody has. And help us to trust you. And I want anybody looking around, but if you're here tonight, just everybody close your eyes, bow your head. If you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you've been struggling with this, will you just lift your hand up and just put it right back down? Okay? Anybody else? Okay? Okay? Anybody else? All right, everybody look up. Man, if you raise your hand tonight, I'm not going to come and get you. I won't do that to you. But I'm going to ask you just to come to the altar tonight. Pastor David's here. I'm here. We'd love to pray with you. And this could be the night. This could be the night that God does what He desires to do in your life. Let's stand together. This altar is open. You come.